I know Alice shared earlier about feeling almost like, well, all this wonderful stuff is going on, but am I connected to it? And I must say, it's like, you know, God has, I think, used people greatly and anointed them, and God is really moved. But there's a danger that we can miss out ourselves on what God is wanting to do. And, you know, I've got to be honest, I personally have not really experienced anything other than some manifestations, you know, being stuck to the floor. Great. You know, it's like, do I really want to be stuck to the floor? Nope. And lots of manifestations to give away, but actually I want more, you know, what God wants to do. And I had a really frustrating week last week. So I'd set aside 3 days, took 3 days off to just get in the presence of God. And basically the whole time just got wrecked through various things. Found out that I needed to speak one night here. So it was like, oh, I need to prepare that. And then an old friend from 10, 20 years ago, oh, I'm in the area, can I see you? Oh, yeah, all right. and then it's like, there's another guy, leader from another church. I need deliverance. Can you pray for me? Yeah, all right. And actually, you know, actually, I wanted to spend time in the presence of God. And it's not that I didn't spend any time in the presence of God, but not to what God wanted me to do. And it's like, you know, so I ended up really frustrated. And, you know, frustration is not a very good feeling to have. You know, it's okay to be hungry, thirsty and passionate or want more and be desiring something more than we've got. But to be frustrated because you haven't got what you knew you could have got, not that good. And I want to encourage us in all that God's doing. It's like we have to press in. You know, so last night I thought, well, I'm not going to minister to anybody. I'm coming, but I want to meet with God. You know, so it's like, you know, sometimes it's okay to be totally selfish because actually God wants to meet with you selfishly for himself to do stuff. Because sometimes we can get caught up in doing things for other people, which is great, but we still have to have in us the things to give away. And sometimes God says, I want you. You know, so when he said last night, we'll draw a line and go forward. And it's like, did I really relate to that? Not that I was going to go forward. It's like, I wanted to meet with God. So it's like, I'll go forward. I want to meet with God. And it's like, I want God to actually do some stuff. You know, it's like, God is doing stuff. And I want to encourage everybody, you know, not to miss out on it because you're focused on giving away. You know, we have to receive as well. I am totally up for giving everything away and freely receiving, freely give. But you've got to freely receive before you can freely give. So I encourage you, you know, just keep pressing in and keep coming forward into the presence of God. And, you know, you cannot be too hungry or too thirsty for God. You know, you just can't. You know, you can't get too much prayer. So long as that prayer is actually changing you. You don't want to get hooked on prayer for the feelings. Because prayer has feelings and manifestations that go with it, which are the presence of God touching our physical body. Actually, what we want is to be restored in our soul. You know, if we fall on the floor, if we don't get up any different, what was the point? You know, what was the point of falling on the floor if we didn't get up any different? Sometimes we don't know what God is doing, and that's okay. But be open for what God is doing. Be hungry for it. Keep going for it. And be hungry to change. Be hungry to be like Jesus. That's the point of all this stuff. It's so we can be Jesus on the earth. As it is in heaven, on earth, through us. As a channel of his glory and his power and his light. A manifestation of his sonship on the earth. That's what God is calling us to. In the worship this morning, while we were in the throne room and in the presence of God, I saw Jesus looking, and it was the Jesus of Revelation 1. There was fire in his eyes, fire which penetrated and got inside your heads, penetrated and get inside your heart. You know, he wasn't going to be restricted by what we put up around us, what we mask we put on, what persona we put on. He wasn't going to be satisfied. He was going to look in, and I saw him, his eyes of fire. And there was love in his eyes, but they were fiery eyes. And they were penetrating deep. And there's a scripture that's in Chronicles that says, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those who he can strongly support, those whose hearts are completely his. Hearts who are completely his. And God wants hearts that are completely his. And that's what he's doing in this time. He's looking for hearts who are completely his. You know, looking for a willingness for us to say, yeah, my heart's yours. We know it's not totally his because there's stuff in it still. You know, we're still dealing with stuff. God's still restoring. He's still making us whole. But he's looking for a willingness to say, I'm willing to step out and allow you to penetrate my heart. So even this morning, even as I'm looking now in the spirit, those the eyes of the Lord is like fiery eyes looking into every heart here, looking into every mind here. What's he going to see? You know, I want you to be really, really honest with yourself this morning, because God wants to do some stuff. What is he going to see? Because you can't hide anything from him. You cannot hide anything from the eyes of the Lord. And in his mouth, because I saw Jesus as a warrior king, in his mouth was a fiery sword. You know, and he wants to speak words that are going to penetrate your heart, penetrate your life, divide that which is of God and that which isn't, so you can get rid of that which isn't of God. Now, that's a challenge. But God is wanting to do that, and he's looking into our hearts this morning. You know, we've been looking at what is to come, that there is a sense that God is pouring out his spirit. He's revealing revelation knowledge. The words of heaven are opening up, and there's new revelation. Prophetic books are being opened to us for revelation today. Fresh revelations being released. You know, there's prophetic periods of time that are coming that we need to know. 1 Chronicles 2. 12:32, the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what to do. God wants us to know what he's doing. He wants us to come into agreement with him. And he's accelerating the time. Some of you have had a crash course. You know, you've got saved and you've been introduced into this stuff. Well, this is just not what it's going to be. Let me tell you, it's not the end of it, it's the beginning of it. But God wants you to know that he can accelerate the time of restoration and healing in your soul. For some of us, it's taken 20 odd years to get where we are. It doesn't have to take 20 years for you. You come into the presence of God where he can speed up and accelerate and do things quicker and quicker, but he's looking for willing hearts. If you're resistant to that, of him moving, then you're going to stop him doing it. And God is not looking for resistant hearts. He's looking for humility, for those who are willing to say, yeah, I've got stuff you need to deal with. You know, I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to be real with you. That's what God is looking for. We've got to be prepared for what is coming. Our level of holiness, we will be fried if we come into God's presence with the level of holiness we've got now. You know, and I'm not being negative, I'm just being real. Because the presence of God, the highway of holiness that God is preparing, is so much higher than we are right now. We've got to be ready, and we've got to be ready to move. Because he's coming. You know, yeah, he's coming. He's going to return one day, but he's coming all the time. Jesus is coming. Every time we get together, he's coming. If you open up your heart to him, he is coming to you. He's meeting with you in ways we never ever experienced. You know, for I don't know how many years when I was a Christian, before I got baptized in the Spirit, I had no experiences of God at all, other than just reading the Bible. But we're in a place like that now. We're in a place where the presence of God is coming, where he is coming to us. We need to allow him to prepare us for the conflict for souls. Because all this is about a harvest. It's all about preparing us to bring in a harvest, to see souls saved. There is a battle for people's souls going on in the world around us. People are going to hell every day. If you've seen hell, you do not want people to go there. every day people are choosing to go. I had a vision when I was on my fast, and it was a vision of people walking, just walking, loads of people all across this great big plain, and they were walking step after step, and over their heads was just this thing, hell. And in the distance there was a fiery pit, and they were walking and walking towards it, and I could see people walking, just walking into the pit. And then I saw people, Christians, stand in front of them with a sword and plant it in the ground in front of these people, saying, stop, look where you're going. You know, and some people stopped, and they sort of looked, and they walked around, and they carried on walking. Yeah? And some people stopped, and they turned around, and they started walking in a different direction. And some people, it took three or four people getting in front of them saying, stop, you're heading towards hell, for them to stop, because people are blind. That's why we've got to bring the light. You know, we're in a battle for people's souls. It isn't just playing games. You know, the presence of God coming is not just so we can have nice times or experience the presence and fall over. Yeah, he wants us to experience love. He wants us into intimacy. He wants us to know who we are and all that stuff. But there's a purpose, a destiny in that. And that destiny is eternal. And it's people's souls that are actually on the line, depending on whether we're going to shine bright enough to get their attention. Whether we're going to be able to demonstrate the kingdom of God enough to be able to say, stop, this is real. God's kingdom is a real kingdom, and you can be saved and transformed and healed now by the power of God flowing through us. It's like, that's what it's about. That's what this preparation is about. A harvest. Now, what did Jesus say? The fields are white under harvest, but there's not enough laborers. There's not enough people who've got a heart for the harvest who are going to bring the harvest in. And everything that God is doing in getting our attention and coming in power and drawing people back to himself is to get a people who are ready for bringing in the harvest, to see people saved and healed and delivered. We've got to be ready. You know, I've shown this prophetic timetable. These are periods of time, things that God is going to be doing. You know, he is calling us to intimacy. He started doing the next stage for some people. This is what it really looks like. Each of those periods of time, every one of them is taking us closer to the return of Jesus and to the heavens being outworked on earth. And we've had forerunners of them. We've seen it in places around the world and moves of God, been forerunners of what God's wanting to do. Now, I've been privileged to be involved in some of those forerunners and experience some of them. And actually, God is saying, they were just little things compared to what I'm going to do. So we've got to be ready to know that what God's doing is because he loves us. Intimacy is about knowing his love. But actually, he is going to gather and remove stumbling blocks. And he's going to raise a generation of people who are willing to equip and bring the harvesters in. Because it's a twofold harvest. There's a harvest of those who are going to become end time harvesters, laborers in the harvest field. And there's going to be an end time harvest that brings Jesus back. But there is such a conflict in the world that's going to be. And we've got to be ready for that conflict. You know, there are sons of the evil one who are planted, and there are sons of the kingdom. I want to give you this scripture, which this whole teaching on stumbling blocks comes from. It's in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And Jesus explained the parable to them in verse 36. Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And Jesus said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed, these are sons of the kingdom. That's us. He's sown us as sons of the kingdom into the world. Now, sons of the kingdom have to manifest the kingdom. No good being called a son of the kingdom if we're living like sons of the world. Because it doesn't add up. We've got to be sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the evil one. Now, that doesn't just mean everybody who's in the world who isn't a Christian. Yes, they're under the influence of the evil one. They are sons of the evil one that have been planted into this world. And we're going to come into direct conflict with them. Some of them are sitting on the tectonic plates right now, and they've got power. Some of them are in the second heaven realm that are actually operating in power and authority that should be ours. And we have to confront this level, and we've got to be ready. I'm going to go off track if I go there. I'm not going there. Now, the enemy has sowed them. It says the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. That's when the full harvest is going to come. And the reapers are angels. So there's angels involved in this process of harvesting with us at the end of the age. But then it says this, the Son of Man will send forth his angels. And this has been happening. And those angels are here and they've been watching. They are gatherer angels. And they will gather out of his kingdom. Not out of the world. The field is the world. This is out of his kingdom. This is out of where we are sons. Out of the church and out of God's people. He's going to gather out of the kingdom all stumbling blocks. And those who commit lawlessness. Now, this is a serious thing. That means we could be a stumbling block. Stumbling block is something that causes people to trip up and fall, or causes us to trip up and fall. We could be those who are committing lawlessness. In other words, doing it our own way. Thinking we're doing right, thinking we're operating in the kingdom of God and everything else. But Jesus said to people, who said, well, we cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did this. We did that in your name. He said, depart from me. I don't know you. I never knew you. Now, that is a challenging statement. There are people in hell right now who thought they were going to heaven. I've seen them. I've read books with other people who've had visitations going to hell. There are people there who thought they were going to be in heaven, but they were stumbling blocks. I know this is a challenge, but the purpose for this happening is to remove those stumbling blocks, to remove those stumbling blocks in us, so nothing in us hinders what God is wanting to do in the world around us and through us, but also God is going to remove stumbling blocks from his kingdom. Those ministries, there are ministries who are going to fall and be taken out of the way because they're operating not according to the words of the kingdom of God. There is going to be churches that are going to be removed. God is going to remove. He's going to purify his church because he wants the church holy and pure. Why? It says, then the righteous will shine forth like the sun. And in the kingdom of their Father, he who has ears, let him hear. Are you listening to what this is saying? Whenever the word of God says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, it means listen. Whenever it says, if you've got ears to listen, are you going to hear? It is serious, and this was a serious challenge for what God is wanting to do. He wants to remove stumbling blocks. He wants to prepare us, and he is sending angels to be involved in that process, and they are watching. They're waiting for an opportunity for us to say, yes, get rid of the stumbling blocks in me. They're waiting for us to come in to surrender and submit and to agree. They're waiting for us to say yes. That's what they're doing right now, but they aren't going to wait much longer. We've got an opportunity, because he's revealing this, to say yes, get on my face before God and say, get rid of the stuff in me. I do not want to be a stumbling block. I do not want to be in the way of what God is doing. I want to be pure and holy. And we've got an opportunity. Jesus said it's better to fall on the rock and be broken, humbled, than it is for the rock to fall on you and be crushed. Because the rock is coming. And he's looking for people who will fall on that rock and say, yes, change me. Deal with the stuff in me. What are stumbling blocks? This is what the Bible says. It's a definition. Anything that causes a person to stumble or to fall. A hindrance, an offense, or a snare. a trap. The Greek word is skandalon, where we get our word scandal from. And that was a word which was bait, the stick of a trap. You know the traps where you put a stick up with a bit of string attached to it, and you pull the string away, and the animal gets caught in the trap. This word comes from that, because it's something that can cause us to be trapped. It was used of the trap itself, and it came to mean a temptation or a sin, or to have false faith. Any person or thing which one is entrapped or drawn into sin or error by. And God is wanting to deal with stumbling blocks in us, the things that hinder us, the things that stop the manifestation of the presence and power of God flowing through us, things that we have put in our hearts or have been put in our hearts which we can't get around. First Peter 4:17. It is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. The household of God is God's church. Sword is coming to his church. That is why he's calling us into love. That's why he's calling us into intimacy for what is to come, that we will be ready and prepared. Judgment is actually saying, this is right and that is wrong. Now, who wants God to tell you this is right and that's wrong in your life? If you want him to tell you that, then you've got an opportunity for him to tell you today. Because his light, his eyes are shining and he's looking. He wants to start telling you. Now, just before we look at that, I want you to actually just know how this comes. Because it's coming out of God's love. He loves you so much, he loves me so much, that he does not want me to stay the same. He does not want you to stay the same. He does not want you to miss out. He does not want you to trip up and be trapped and ensnared by the stuff that's in your heart. He wants you pure. The Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves. Does he love anybody here? What's he going to do? He's going to correct and discipline us. Not punish us. Not punishment. Discipline is correction and direction. To say, that isn't the best way of doing this. That stuff in your heart is going to mess you up. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful, but afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. It brings us into being the righteousness of God. Not just we are because God has made us righteous, but actually we've got to outwork it. And this produces that righteousness. To those who have been trained by it, a harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness, in conformity to God's will, in purpose, thought, and action, resulting in right living. It's the amplified version of that, what that means. God wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That was his intention from time eternity past. Always has wanted sons. He wants us to be his sons, his daughters, if you like. He wants a bride. He didn't want a bride coming to him with dirty, raggy clothes. Any of you saw the royal wedding? Anywhere you were to admit it? Men? You know, she didn't come in old black, dirty rags, did she? She came with a wonderful, beautiful, lacy dress. I don't know how much money that cost. Probably hundreds of thousands of pounds, probably. But God wants his bride prepared like that. When his bride gets presented to him, the whole angelic realm are going to look on. They're going to be looking on, seeing the bride prepared, adorned with beautiful clothes, adorned with the character of Christ. That's the beauty of it. It's the character of Christ, who he is, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're going to be known for. Bejeweled with gifts of splendor. We've got to be prepared. He loves us too much to leave us as we are. And he's coming back for a bride which is prepared and ready. You can be part of that bride, or you can be an obstacle to that. God wants you to be part of it. That's what he's doing. Hebrews 12:6 says, "My dear child," says in the Message, "don't shrug off God's discipline. Don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces. He also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. The trouble is, the trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's being trained. Verse 11, God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going to against the grain. But later, of course, it pays off handsomely. For it's well-trained, the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to become mature sons. He wants us to have God's holy best. But we have to surrender. We have to let him do it. We have to submit. And risk letting him see the inside of our heart. We've got to be willing to surrender. Hebrews 12:1. This is our bit. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance, every weight, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. You do not run a marathon with heavy weights. You know, those people who run the marathon in a big costume don't win, do they? People who win wear a shorts and a top, and that's it. They're ready to run. You know, they don't go around with a gorilla suit, whatever. People do, but it doesn't win. God wants us to win. Because there's a race set before us. Every one of us, a race. Things that God has prepared, a race set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Can you take him out? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's so easy to be distracted, isn't it? Even with nice little things like children. So easy to be distracted because we take our eyes off what God's doing and we look at things that are going on. It's like we can't afford to take our eyes off Jesus in this race. Because we'll go the wrong way. He's the one who's showing us the way to go. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on him. And therefore we've got to be radical and ruthless to get rid of everything that's holding us back. Everything that we're wearing, it's not for running. Everything which entangles us and keeps us back. That means we're running the race and there's something on the side that gets our attention. We go off track. We get entangled. And we get caught up in sin, which is anything which is not God's best for us. And we get sidetracked and we get caught off guard and we're drawn off. And sometimes we can spend years there. And God wants us to be moving forward. He wants us to be running the race. So we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Ezekiel 14:4 talks about what stumbling blocks are. Thus says the Lord God, any man who sets up idols in his heart puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity. Stumbling blocks are idols. There are things that are bigger than God in our life. Now we have to be radical and ruthless to deal with idols. God hates idolatry. He demands first place in our lives. What are the idols that we're bowing down to? I want to show you some of them. Revelation 2:12. The angel of the church at, and you could put Freedom or Grosvenor or COC or anywhere in there, because God is speaking to the church right now. The one who has a sharp two-edged sword says this. He's not coming, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, when he's saying this stuff. He's coming with a sword. Verse 14. I have a few things against you, the teaching of Balaam. What did Balaam do? He kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. God is going to deal with idolatry and he's going to deal with immorality in the church. He's going to clean house. Now, who's the church? Us. So who's he going to clean house in? Us. So if we've got idols and if we've got immorality, he is going to deal with it. Therefore, what we need to do, repent. We need to turn away from that as quickly as we possibly can. Or else, and this is an or else, if we do not repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. I don't want that. And I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for us as a church. We've got an opportunity of repenting and turning away from idolatry and turning away from those stumbling blocks that are in our way. And immorality is a mad one within the church. You know, the divorce rate amongst the church is just as high as the world because the enemy knows our weaknesses. And the enemy knows that if we can catch our attention and draw us off track, he will. And God wants to deal with it. In Jude 11, again, talking about this stuff, woe to them. Now, when he says woe, he doesn't mean woe. He means look out. Look out. Woe to them, because they've gone the way of Cain. And for pay, they've rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. What were those things? Cain, he murdered his brother. Unforgiveness and bad attitudes towards one another of anger and jealousy are not going to be tolerated. God is not going to tolerate it much longer. So let's get our hearts right with one another. Let's not hold anything against one another. Let's forgive. There was a lot of this going on last night about the need for forgiveness. Michael Bryant talked about it. Challenge people. We need to be quick to forgive. Because we don't want to go the way of Cain. Because woe to them that go the way of Cain. Woe to them that go the way of Balaam. License, immorality, idolatry, ministry for personal gain. Balaam was paid to prophesy against the children of Israel. First of all, he said, no, I can't do that, I can't do that. But the more he thought about it, he actually ended up doing it. Our ministry cannot be for personal gain. Got to be for his glory. And Korah, he rebelled against godly authority. What happened? He says, I'm going to do it my way. The time for mavericks and loose cannons and people who are out there doing their own thing is over. God wants people in godly authority, submitted and surrendered to him, not doing their own thing anymore. You know? There's no place for lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We work together. We work together in God's kingdom, in unity, in harmony, and we work together side by side. We don't do it on our own. And God is challenging us because he's going to deal with these things. 1 Corinthians 10:6. These things happened as examples for us. Now really take note of this, examples for us, that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. We've got to be really careful about polluting our bodies. Nor let us act immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. That's under the old covenant. But actually, the new covenant carries greater responsibility. And it's like those who will not respond to God's call, there may be people who fall. nor let us try the Lord. As some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. So it didn't seem particularly grumbling. God isn't going to tolerate it in the coming kingdom. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This is written for us, guys. It's written for us to say God is going to clean house, he's going to purify the church, and this stuff is not going to be tolerated within the kingdom. You can carry on doing it, but you put yourself really at risk. Because God loves you. He loves me. He don't want anything spoiling our relationship and our destiny and the things he's called us to. For you've been called for a time such as this. Esther was the queen in the Old Testament, which is a picture of the bride in the New Testament, who was called for a time of extreme danger. But she was called to be the person who was able to go into the king and rescue the whole nation. But she was prepared with oils and perfumes. She had the best of everything lavished upon her to prepare her to be the queen, to be the bride. We've got to deal with idols. Anything taking priority of God is an idol. Anything. Therefore, family, work, church, sport, relationships, our ministry, money, success can all be idols. We can all be wanting them more than God. Sickness can become an idol. Addictions, problems, issues can all become idols because we look at them more than we look at God. We look at the problem rather than the answer. And they become so big that we can't see how it's possible to change because we're looking at the issue. Images you've seen, words that you've heard and said, they can become idols. And stumbling blocks, memories of past hurt and trauma can become such stumbling blocks that keep tripping you up over and over and over again because you don't deal with it. Unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, disappointment, they can be such stumbling blocks because they become something that we're looking at which is bigger than God. Mindsets and strongholds, things that we believe can be such things we hold to, and the church can do it all the time, traditions and doctrines, and we hold to them, doctrines, traditions, anything that's bigger than God in our thinking, looking at the problem rather than the solution. Two that I think God wants to deal with. One is smoking. Some of you, it is the stumbling block in your life. It's holding you back to your past. It's something you cannot see yourself overcoming, and God is saying it's time for you to deal with it because it's an idol. You're using it instead of God to deal with your stress and your stuff, and God is saying it's time to deal with it. Some of you use food in the same way. Nothing is impossible for God. He's bigger than every stumbling block, every stronghold, every idol, but actually you've got to see him that way. There's a picture of the person and there's Jesus. And we can look at Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we see the author and finisher of our faith. But actually, we get stuff in the way. Problems, idols, stumbling blocks. And they might start out as being something which is like that. We can still see Jesus. But actually, we can't see his eyes and we can't get his heart. And those things get bigger and bigger until we can't see Jesus at all. All we see is what's in between. And when we try and see Jesus, we see through the problem. And then when we try and get his heart, we go through the problem. And when he tries to get his heart back to us, it comes back through the problem. And that's why we're not getting the answers. Because we've made the problem so big that we can't see Jesus. This is what we can do. There's the problems. We've got to see Jesus as bigger than every problem. Those problems are minimized in the presence of Jesus. Because then we can see him. We can feel his heart. We can get his heart back to us and we can deal with those problems. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus so that problem is removed. Those stumbling blocks, those idols are removed from our lives. If you let them there, You're going to live your life like it is at the top, constantly seeing things through your problem, through your issue, through your idol, and it will be put first. God does not want that. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is what the eyes of the Lord is doing. This is what the word of God is doing. It's looking at our hearts, dividing what is of God and what isn't. What is soul? What is spirit? What is motivating us? It's going to expose selfishness and self-centeredness. We have to be ruthless and deal with our soul. You know, when I was on the fast, I tried to deal with everything in my past, went back in every year of my life, and I realized I've just scratched the surface. And I thought I was being ruthless. And it's like God saying, no, there's more. I've got to deal. Our soul is our conscience, our imagination, our reason, our heart, emotions, will. Ultimately, God wants our choice. He wants us daily to say, yes, I'm following you today. I'm not going to be distracted, not going to keep my eyes on anything else. Your choice releases God's power or empowers the enemy. The enemy has no power in this universe other than what we give him. This is why we've got to get our eyes off the problem and start focusing on Jesus. Our conscience is the ears of our heart. It will start to direct us. Go here, don't go there. Do this, don't do that. We've got to get it purified. The imagination is the eyes of the heart. We've got to be able to see what God is doing. See that vision from heaven. Our reason is the voice of the heart. We've got to speak with the voice of God. The deaf can't hear God's voice. The blind can't see God's vision, and the dumb can't speak with God's voice. Idols will keep us blind, deaf, and dumb, because they're blind, deaf, and dumb. What an idol is, it's a carved image of something that we wear down and worship. It's got no life in it. It's got no voice. It's got no vision. We become aimless and powerless and ineffective if we don't deal with this stuff. Deal with the soul. That's what God is saying to us. Deal with it. Jeremy spoke to me about this verse the other day. Isaiah 33:14. And I was really taken by it. Who among us can live with the consuming fire? You think you can live with the consuming fire? All shrugging your shoulders, wondering. We can. We can't live with the consuming fire without actually being continually burned. It's like we cannot live with the consuming fire and not remain changed. Verse 15 goes on to say, who can live with the consumed fire and can be continually in that place of burning, transformation, change, fire of God? Those who walk righteously, those who speak with sincerity, those who reject unjust gain, he who stops his ears from hearing about evil, he who shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. We've got to stop looking. We've got to stop hearing. We've got to be willing and ready. I'll finish with this. Romans 12:1-2 in the Message. Here's what I want you to do. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Because his attention is fixed on you right now. He's looking with eyes of fire at you right now. You'll be changed from the inside out. Once you've got God in your spirit and the glory of God coming through your spirit, it will restore your soul. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And I'll get this to work. I'll skip a couple of things. Oh, we'll look at that another day. Okay. Those gathering angels are here. The true church is going to be separated. There's things going to be taken out of the church. But the world needs to come out of our life, so we can shine like the sun, transfigured with glory, be true sons of God revealed to the world in which we live. And I believe all the ancient anointings and mantles that God has put on all the restoration of the church are going to be released in these days. The mantles of authority and power of every revival there's ever been is going to be poured out in the last days. And we can be under that. But if you've listened and read the stories of revival, you know that virtually every one of the people who are involved in revivals fell into sin in some sort of way. They ended up either dying early or their ministries falling because they weren't pure and holy. God is not going to trust people who are not pure and holy with the mantles and the anointings that are going to be poured out in these last days. That is why he wants to prepare our life. That's why he wants to do it. We've got to get ready. Be hungry and thirsty for more. There's more to come. Therefore, be changed. To prepare us, to equip us, to empower us, to be sons of God, to be superheroes of the faith. That's what God is looking for in these days. And he wants to deal with some stuff today. And I particularly want to pray for those who have an idol, smoking. I believe God wants to set you free because you cannot go further with the purposes of God when you've got an idol in your heart. Now, you might be at a point right now and think, I'm not really sure I can really do that. Okay. But if you want to be free, and that is holding you back and tying you to your past, because that's what it does. You know, you're not free from addiction until you're free from smoking. And God wants to challenge that today. So if you want to be prayed for, you're going to have to repent of it, renounce it. We'll pray for you to break its power over you. But you've got to be willing to let God remove it from your heart as an idol. Does anyone want to be free from smoking?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's come get you up. Let's get the ministry team up. Pray for you. If you want to keep the idol, then you're in danger right now of allowing the enemy to keep hold of your life. Don't allow smoking to be bigger than God. Amen? You do not want to allow something to be bigger than God in your life. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance. And you need to pray this from your heart. Is there anyone else who wants to be free? All right. Let's just pray this. Father God, I repent from putting smoking before you, for polluting the temple of the Holy Spirit, and allowing an addiction to control me. I renounce using smoking to deal with things that God can deal with. I renounce using it to deal with stress. I renounce using it to bring calmness. I renounce it as a habit. I receive the blood of Jesus. And I apply it to these chains around my heart. To break these chains. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm just going to release that. I want the guys to pray for you. We release right now the fire of the presence of God to destroy this idol and to turn it into dust. To break the power and the addiction of nicotine over every body, the power over every mind of addiction right now in Jesus' name. Release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I want the rest of you to really reach out and pray and reach out to these guys, because this is not an easy thing. Those of you who know, it's not an easy thing. They've boldly stepped up here. I just want the ministry team just to pray and release that and break this addiction off them right now. Father God, we just pray right now. The power of your Holy Spirit will be released in this room on each of these lives right now to set them free from the addiction to smoking, to break the habit in their life, to break the mental dependency, to break the physical dependency, to break the dependency on what they do with their hands, to break the thinking patterns that means that when they're stressed they go for a cigarette. The habits of going out into the smoking shed and other places would break those things in their mind right now in Jesus' name. Release the power of your Spirit on them right now in Jesus' name. Release the anointing of the Sovereign Lord to bring prisoners out of captivity into freedom, into life. We release the blood of Jesus who will break those chains. In Jesus' name, just let your anointing come, Lord God. Just let your anointing come and break those yokes, destroy those burdens, and release them right now from the yoke and the bondage to smoking right now in the name of Jesus. Let your power and your anointing release them right now more. Break it out of their heart. Release it from their body in Jesus' name. Release it from their hearts and in their minds and strongholds. Break the pattern of it over them right now in the name of Jesus. Loose any demonic control of addiction that's been over their lives now in the name of Jesus. We loose that addiction over them now in the name of Jesus. Loose it right now in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.